I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Starting a business on your own can be lonely and worrying. Selling online multiplies this issue tenfold. Getting expert help is a great way to reduce anxiety, wasted time, and confusion. The Amazing FBA Mentoring Program is in its fourth year of helping sellers to get started on Amazon. By now, we have former clients who have, starting from scratch, done six figures and even in one case, seven figures a year. Obviously, these are not typical results. These are exceptional people. Nevertheless, we can help you get launched faster, safer, and with a much higher chance overall of success. With clients from Melbourne, Australia to Manchester, England, we bring a genuinely international perspective. To find out more, go to amazingfba.com/mentoring. Thanks for listening. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Amazing FBA podcast. This is your host, Michael Veazey. And after coming up on somewhere close to 400 episodes, getting very used to doing that intro, got a great guest in today and some very important topic because of some updates recently from Amazon. Today's guest is Henson Wu, who's the co-founder and the CEO of FeedbackWiz, which helps manage and enhance brand reputation for Amazon sellers via email automation and monitoring. This is a very slick corporate statement, Henson. Let's dig into what that means in a minute, but welcome to the show. First of all, thank you very much for coming on.
Hey, thank you, Michael, for having me on today. Glad to be here.
Yeah, my pleasure to have you on as well. I mean, I know from our pre-show chat, I dug into some quite deep questions and I probed you, and you're very on it with statistics and also what you can and cannot tell from statistics. So a very clear-minded thinker about this, which is great. So the first thing and we ought to plunge into is the big news in the Amazon community is the terms of service update around emails, or rather, is it terms of service update or is it an enforcement update? So that's something we need to discuss, right? So tell us a little bit more about your views on this.
Yeah, so give everyone a little background. If you're selling in the US, you might have, since there's a lot of sellers that got hit with this email that Amazon sends that says you've been your account has been temporarily restricted from sending proactive messages. And basically, it's anywhere from 120 hours to a 30-day restriction. So basically, you can't send messages to your customers, proactive ones that are. But if they do message you, then it's okay. You can still respond to them. So the problem that's going on right now is that a lot of sellers have been using languages or sending coupon codes or doing promotions or marketing or linking them to their website through the Amazon buyer messaging platform. And Amazon really hasn't enforced it too much until recently. So now they're under more pressure because there's a lot of, news and stuff about, how Amazon does their practices. And so they're now trying to enforce some of these terms of service violations. But what they've done is they've been sending out emails telling people like, hey, you can't, send messages requesting reviews anymore, or you can't use links. Or so there's been a lot of conflicting messages that Amazon's been sending. And actually, if you log into Seller Central, you'll see in your news section on November 17th, they actually send out a bulletin saying that, it's kind of their mistake. They didn't mean to send out all those, saying there's new TOS changes. There's actually no TOS changes. Really, it's just they're trying to enforce on the existing TOS. Now, however, there is one major change that everyone should be aware of, that now you can only send out one review request email per order. Back previously, you can send, two or three. Some people send four. And I think what's going on is a lot of buyers have been just flooded with these review request emails. And so Amazon has really just said, hey, now we can only send one. So the only real update that I know of, and as of this, recording, is that you can only send one review request email. However, I can discuss some of the things that are Amazon's actually flagging for. And, I've seen, thousands of accounts, I would say like maybe 10, 15% of sellers are violating something in the TOS. I would say the most common mistake that sellers are getting flagged for really is when you're asking for review in the email, you want to just ask for review. You don't want to tie any types of if, then statements like, if you had a good experience with the product, could you leave us a review? Or if you didn't have a good experience, could you contact us? We'll make it right. And then could you leave us a review? So they don't want to have any type of incentivized reviews language in their email.
I thought that, to be fair, I mean, first of all, thank you very much for flagging that up. And I suppose just to respond immediately to what you were saying, and then we'll kind of work backwards. I mean, I thought that anyone since October 2016 who's asking for an incentivized review in any way, for or shape or form, like, for example, if it's 5 stars, please leave a review. If it's 4 stars or less, please contact us, must be on drugs, because that's kind of obviously suicidal and a great way to get your account suspended. But are people actually still doing that? Because obviously you have access to the data for a lot of people's emails. Do people still do that?
Yeah, absolutely. They've been doing suicide. That for years, and they just haven't gotten any type of, you know, Amazon hasn't enforced it because it's kind of hard for them to detect it, right? So now,
interesting that you say that. I mean, I know several sellers who've been suspended over things like that, actually. Maybe I know stupid people, I don't know, but, you know, some of them are really, really sharp people doing a lot of money as well. So that's interesting that you haven't experienced that. I've experienced several people get suspended over that.
Yeah, so to explain what's going on now is they've programmatically are suspending people. So meaning they've written some kind of code, have some kind of algorithm where they can actually go through millions of seller accounts to detect the language inside. And if they detect, you know, certain keywords or certain type of language, then they'll automatically just slap you with this this restricted proactive message. Now, not everyone that's been hit with it is actually, you know, violating something. So definitely check your messages to see if there's any type of like if-then statements. We see a lot of accounts with if-then statements are getting flagged. So try to avoid keywords like good experience or positive experience. So they're checking for some keywords and they're kind of just, you know, suspending people like everywhere. So.
Yeah, usual Amazon thing, right? I mean, I suppose the trouble with artificial intelligence is that it's supposed to learn from experience, but it's a bit like putting a hyper clever baby in charge of something. Like, okay, it may be learning fast, but it has no experience of real life yet, so I guess it's going to make some crass mistakes, right? So I for example, I can imagine that I would put something in saying, hope you've had a good experience with your product, without in any way incentivizing them to leave a positive review or you know, to leave out a negative one. So that's interesting. So that's a warning sort of statement. Interesting. Any other sort of phrases that you think are actually triggering that particular sort of algorithm update?
Yeah, I would just avoid any positive or good experience or bad experience. Basically, I think what's going on is they can detect the links inside your email. So if you have a review request link inside your email, they're checking to see if that template has any of this, they call suggestive language. So if you're asking for review, just keep it very simple, unbiased. Don't use any type of, you know, statements or conditions, and just keep it short. Inside Feedback Wiz, our preloaded templates, we actually loaded the exact template that Amazon uses.
Okay.
To, you know, ask for review. So if you really want to be like safe, you can just use that template and, you know, you'll have no issues because that's made by Amazon. That's why Amazon uses.
Brilliant. Although I have to say, the cynic in me says, well, I've dealt with that kind of thing with Amazon before. They're not that consistent with themselves, because probably somebody in Department A made that email and somebody in Department B is reinforcing it. But you're right. We could at least, the very least, if we get some problem, we can go back to Amazon and say, hey, this is your template we're using. So that should be a decent safeguard. Okay, great. So thank you very much for flagging that all up. I mean, first of all, you know, we need to calm people down so it's not a total disaster. So your account's been temporarily restricted. It sounds like that's implemented by an algorithm, so we need to avoid certain keywords. But actually, as far as you can say, apart from the new change to only one review request per product, that's per sale per product, is that, just to check that one?
That's per order.
Per order. Okay. Per order, so you order several things. But to be honest, a lot of this stuff is like, everyone panics about GDPR, which over in Europe is a big deal. It'll come to you in America, I'm sure, because it's kind of the way things are going. But that was about, for example, as a business, I'm no longer allowed to cold email an individual private person Doesn't apply to business to business, by the way, which a lot of people don't know. But the thing is, that was never really good business practice anyway. And asking for a review several times was a really terrible way of emailing, in my opinion. You should be doing lots of things before or after that anyway. So I don't think this is big a disaster as people are making out. And we'll be looking into that in a separate episode. But I just wanted to, you flagged up that you had lots of thoughts on the algorithm change. I thought it was a good idea to get into that. Any other thoughts about staying safe, or how should we respond to this? Is it really a big danger, or is it just as long as you stick within certain guidelines, you'll be safe? Or what's your view of that?
Yeah, there's really no danger here. What they're doing is that if they flag your account, they're just preventing you from sending out proactive messages. They're not suspending your entire account. So you don't have to freak out about getting your entire business shut down. You know, we've seen people like they get shut down for 30 days. They don't fix the problem. They get shut down for another 30 days. They don't fix the problem. They get shut down for 30 days. So it seems like they're just kind of just preventing you from sending emails. They're not really doing more than that. However, you know, this can change. So definitely anyone that's using any type of email automation service, please check your templates, please check your campaigns, make sure you're not sending more than one review request, and also make sure that the language inside the review request template is within TOS. We have a blog, feedbackwiz.com blog. There's an article on how to avoid account suspension, and we actually highlight pretty much all the things you need to look out for, and we have all the links inside that tell you, that direct you to the different pages. Within Amazon TOS, there's like 7 different pages. I don't know why, but that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And honestly, the language inside is actually very vague as well too. So when you read it, you're gonna interpret it as I'm not even allowed to send messages for review requests. So that's actually one of the most common questions that people are asking us, is like, are we even allowed to ask for reviews? And the actual answer is yes. However, you might email an Amazon customer service rep and they'll tell you the answer is no. So there's a huge disconnect right now between Amazon and internally with their CSR. So you guys probably, experienced sellers on Amazon probably already know that the CSRs don't always know everything. And most of the time they might give you the wrong information, because what they're really doing is they're just pulling up a page on the TOS site and they're just interpreting what they read.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, CSR, so customer service representatives, right? Yeah, I mean, they know less than good Amazon sellers in most experiences, in my experience anyway. I mean, unless you get put through to an expert who's in the whatever seller performance team, if you're at risk of suspension, or the whatever it is, the FBA team, the specialists, in which case they do know what they're doing, but you can't access them directly. So if you can access somebody directly, they probably don't know what they're doing, in my experience, to put it bluntly. Or they may do, but it's highly variable. Does that tie in with your experience as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the reason I'm speaking out about all these issues is really because I'm not Amazon, right? I'm part of FeedbackWiz, but we actually talk to the team that's in charge of buyer seller messaging. So these are the guys that are actually enforcing the rules, and you know, we have active line of communication open with them, and they're giving us, you know, telling us, hey, these are what you can do, you can't do, this is what we're enforcing. And just assuring that everyone that, you know, sending emails through a third-party automation tool is perfectly fine. So there's really no issue with that. So if anyone's worried about using a tool to send out emails, as of right now, there's no problem. So don't have to worry about it.
Great. Thank you. Well, look, a lot of this stuff, it's funny because having been around the Amazon game for just over 5 years now, or like maybe 5.5 if you count the first few months of product research and training and ordering products before I started selling, it strikes me that nothing in the big picture, the strategy has changed ever, which is Amazon wants customers to have a good experience. And you just got to think for yourself, because most of us buy on Amazon, right? First of all, I ignore most stuff I get from email from everyone because I get overloaded. The second thing is Amazon already told me that my product's been shipped or delivered. So having somebody else tell me that is not only superfluous, it's confusing. I'm like, why would you do that? That's never been good practice, right? The other thing is, if somebody wants to create rapport with me, the best thing is just to ask me a simple question. And there's various different things that people have been doing for years. Good marketers, like, for example, Ben Cummings has been one of those people. Like, ask a question like, why did you buy it? What do you think of it? That's never going to go out of style. And then if you ask questions and then follow up with, if you like it, Could you give us a review? Okay, that was understandable until October 2016. So that's only the only thing that's really profoundly changed is don't ask for a review only if it's positive. But apart from that bit of language, it strikes me that everyone obsesses about the terms of service and you should be aware of it. Of course. But having said that, a lot of it's common sense if you start from the point of view of the customer service experience, right? So I would like to get into, you know, being sophisticated enough marketer and therefore avoiding the problems anyway, which is what we're going to talk about in the next episode. But any thoughts around that? I mean, am I being too optimistic with these statements or does that sort of about time with your thinking?
No, you're absolutely right about this. And, you know, just people are just tired of getting emails and, you know, requests or things like that. It's just too much, right? So that's the problem is that if you're trying to get reviews, it's very hard on Amazon, right? They've pretty much shut the door on, you know, all the different ways you can get them. However, they are allowing you to use email automation or review requests to ask your customer to leave a review. So if they allow you to do it, you got to maximize the opportunity. So in order to actually maximize the opportunity, you have to make sure that whatever email you're sending, since now you only have one shot, right? Before you had multiple shots, now you have one shot. So you got to make sure that whatever you're writing in that email, first of all, it's within terms of service. Second of all, it has to be personalized. And like you said, you need to build some kind of, you know, connection with the customer or provide them some information about the product. It's not about just asking for reviews. It's about creating a campaign or a strategy to kind of soften up the experience or just, you know, sending them something personalized. And then you can ask them for review. And then your chances of getting review, you know, goes up exponentially if you do that. You know, in the other episodes that we're going to talk about is, you know, the review request button, generic emails, you know, what are some of the strategies on how to get higher review conversion. And, you know, there is a lot of strategy and a lot of sellers don't put the time or the effort to research it or think about how to do it. And they just automatically give up and say, hey, everyone's opted out or hey, no one opens my email and, you know, this is useless. I'm not going to do it. But for the very experienced sellers, they definitely have something crafted up and they are all using some kind of email automation tool and they are getting results, even though the percentages might be, you know, realistically anywhere from 3 to 5% conversion, that's still better than less than 1% conversion with possibility of getting a negative review with that 1%.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I have to say that also been working with some seriously sharp people in the masterminds that I run in London. And one of them came along with, he's a business owner and the CEO as well, or co-owner, I think, of a pretty substantial business that's scaling fast. And they came along with 1% conversion rate, I think about this time last year, and they've got up to 4% now with a real mixture of strategies. But it really can change. I mean, that's a 400% increase, you know, and also that's a huge win. If over time, you're selling the same amount as another seller and you increase your review rate from 1% to 2%, you're going to drown them in positive reviews. You're basically eventually going to beat them based on the social proof, which we all know is so critical for the conversion rate. So it's so important to do it. As you say, just because it's a small percentage doesn't mean it isn't absolutely critical, because I couldn't say that really out of everything you can put on your listing, more positive reviews is the most important thing to get, right? I think even more important than, okay, as long as your photos are good enough, I think you have to obsess about photos because they're under your control. But in the end, Amazon's created the social proof site of all social proof sites, right? And I think that's it. That's what drives it. So we have to obsess about it. So talking of which then, which is why we've got you on, because it's super, super important. Talk about new stuff. And then we'll, in a new episode, we'll get into, you know, why reviews matter so much. And we'll dig into that. But review request button, this is another new update that people are a bit confused about. So first of all, what is it? And for those who haven't come across it, or have come across it and don't know what's going on.
Yeah, so about 2 weeks ago, you know, sometime mid-November of 2019, Amazon launched this new button inside the orders page. Basically, it's a button that says request a review. And what that allows you to do is if you click that button, then Amazon will automatically send out one of their generic templates to help you get a review, basically sending out an email to the customer to ask for a review. So the reason why they launched this, and you know, I'm speculating, but you know, based on what I know, is really because of, you know, part of this TOS update that a lot of buyers don't understand, you know, what to write inside their emails or what they can say. And they're, you know, Amazon just wants to give these sellers peace of mind, saying that, hey, we made it really simple for you guys. If you guys want to request a review, then you can press this button. You don't have to, you know, message everyone and write all these nonsense and, you know, get hit with a proactive email suspension. So it's really a convenience. Now, the drawback of using this button is that, first of all, it's a generic email coming from Amazon. Means that everyone that presses that button is going to get the same exact email. And what that email is going to have is just pretty much a description of what you bought. And it's going to have a picture of your product, the title, and then it's going to have a bunch of, it's going to have 5 stars that are unfilled. And it's going to basically say like, how did your experience go or something like that with question mark. And could you rate, could you leave a rating? Very simple, a few words, nothing special. And, you know, as many people have been selling on Amazon, they've been sending out these feedback request emails for seller feedback for a few years now, and it's been automated. And, you know, the results on people responding to those emails is actually very low. Most people don't get much response because they get tired of it. After a while, when you get the same exact emails for every single order, same subject line, same content, they don't even open it because they already know what it is and they don't want to respond to it. So I know a lot of sellers are really excited about it and they really want to use it. They think that, hey, I'm going to get great conversions or, you know, this is the way to do it. But honestly, over some time, you're going to realize that this, you know, this is not a good way to get reviews because, first of all, you can't customize the subject line. The template is generic, can't automate it. And after some time, people are just not going to respond to it. And the biggest thing too is now you only have one review request chance, right? So if you press that button, then you're not supposed to send out another email using your email tool or anything like that. So you're kind of dampening your chances of getting reviews. So I wouldn't recommend using it, but if you're scared about getting hit with a proactive email suspension or, you know, you don't have that many orders and you don't really care, then it's a nice convenient way to, you know, ask for a review.
Okay, but from what you're saying, so there's two very, very big downsides, one of which is a terrible open rate, presumably, or even if people open it, they'll just immediately go, oh God, it's this email again, I've seen the same thing, and won't read it and engage, so let alone click. And an email without a click in direct response type email like that one is kind of a waste of time, right? And even worse than waste of time, you're going to annoy people. So the second thing is, if you only get to use that one email and you cannot control the email follow-up sequence, it sounds like it's absolutely terrible unless you're really terribly incompetent at email marketing. Would you agree with that? It's just only for the very poor at email marketing by the sound of it.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. And also, they do have an opt-out for that as well. So the bottom of the email, it says, hey, if you don't want to receive this type of emails anymore, click on this link and you can unsubscribe. So it's the same mechanism as the seller communication. I believe over time, this probably would get more unsubscription because this is just a generic robotic email. And, you know, people might just not want to respond to it. Whereas seller communication, you know, a lot of people realize when they buy some product on Amazon, they sometimes will get something from the seller, like an ebook or a guide or, you know, how to use these products. So they might still be more open to have that kind of communication rather than just getting these generic review request emails. And the other thing too is this review request email doesn't go through buyer-seller messaging. It's sent through a different mechanism. So if you open buyer-seller messaging, you're not going to get any statistics. You're not going to see your open rate. You're not going to know who you send it out to. The button disappears over some time, but, you know, it's still very early. You know, it's only been out for like less than a month. So this is all the information we have right now. And we don't know, you know, what Amazon's going to do with this in the future. I don't think they're going to automate it because it's just a pain in the ass to automate things like that. And there's really no value for them to do it. So I think it's just a one shot for sellers to, you know, make their life easy. So.
Yeah, it sounds to me highly unattractive because I guess as a marketer, I want control. So number one, I know from my marketing, I'm not a brilliant email marketer on Amazon, but certainly with amazing FBA, which is more under my control and people are more connected with the personal brand. But I know that different subject lines get incredibly different open rates. I mean, much more than, even though I just think I'll just do it for the sake of it, I always A/B test every email like now I send out, because I just always find it shocking, like 20% versus 37%, like almost double just from a few different words. And that means every single other word I've written, if it hasn't been opened, is a waste of time. So it's absolutely critical to be able to control the subject line, I would say. And also the fact that you get no statistics, even worse, because I can't even see whether it's effective or not. So to me, it sounds like a red herring. Like a lot of things on Amazon, it looks like a simplification and attractive, but it actually sounds like it does a lot of terrible things. So my feeling is that you just shouldn't be using that at all unless you're really incompetent. Is that, would you agree with that? Or is it just that is a bit harsh?
No, I agree with that. You know, it's really easy to set up an email sequence with a third-party tool, you know, feedback was, you can literally set it up in 5 minutes, right? And if you have the data, you know what to write. You know, once you plug it and set it to go, you don't really need to manage it anymore, right? So if you spend that extra 10 minutes, you're going to get, you know, 1,000 times return versus, you know, being lazy. Because, you know, selling on Amazon is not easy, right? You got to do every little thing and master every little part of every part of the business in order to succeed. So you got to do your due diligence and spend the time and effort to, you know.
100%. 100%. And yeah, so this sounds like a bit of fool's gold, but thanks for the TOS update and the update on the, by the sound of it, to be avoided review request button at all costs. So you heard it here first, folks, or maybe you didn't hear it first, but I hope that was a clear-minded, reassuring set of information from Henson, who, as I said, has been talking directly to the guys at Amazon responsible for this. So I think we can lay a lot of myths to rest with that. So Henson, thanks very much for taking care of that for us and explaining that so clearly.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now, over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.